Right, so this week's parsha, Parsha's Toldos, begins with the continuation of last week's episode when Rivka and Yitzchak got married. So the parsha begins where Yitzchak marries Rivka, and Vayeta Yitzchak, and basically that they are Rivka's an Akara, she can't have children. In fact, as the Gemara tells us, really God made them Akaras because he wanted them to be Mispalel. He wanted to hear the Tefillah, and Rashi tells us Yitzchak prayed in his corner, Rivka in her corner, and Yitzchak's Tefillah was accepted because he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. But Rivka was a tzaddik ben Russia. And it says, and then finally it became pregnant. Vata Rivka Ishto. Vayitzrotesu habanim bekirba. And the kids were fighting in the womb. Vatomerim king lamazen nochiches. Who needs this stuff? So Rashi tells us, the Chazal, that when they passed by a yeshiva, Yaakov tried to get out. And when they passed by a church, Esav tried to get out. That's what Joseph Obed and Bekir, but that's what all the, it was a difficult childbirth.
What kind of yeshiva did they have back then?
Yeshiva Shein Ve'Aver. I think it was the only show in town.
But who went there?
Right, so I guess it looked a little different than the way our yeshivas look today. But so someone, I think the Baal HaTurim writes, the reason why Yitzrotzu about a Mekirba, a very pragmatic approach, is Esau was very hairy and he was very itchy, so they had to like push him away and this and that. But Rashi learns a much more theological that. And the Kasha developed after Rashi is, or Chazal, we have a tradition that an angel teaches us Kol HaTorah Kula while we're in the womb. So the Shaila is, why did Yaakov try to get out to a yeshiva Shein Ve'Aver? He had the best year in the world. The Malach was teaching him Torah. So the belt says over, with the chavrusa like Esav, you want out of there. You have the best shear in the world, but if you don't have a good chavrusa, it's just not going to work. But either way, it's Yotzo Abadim Bekirba, so there's a major discussion. It's Evan Ezra that writes, what do you mean, Habanim? They call them Banim, but they weren't born yet, right? It's during the pregnancy. By Yotzo Habanim Bekirba. So the Evan Ezra writes, Al Shem HaAsid. They called them Banim now because eventually in the future they were going to be born. So this touches on a major issue about in terms of the different issues. One issue is, when does life begin? In terms of, does life begin at the conception? Does it begin at birth? That's the whole major major discussion. You know, the story I always say over the three people, there was a minister, there was a liberal, and there was a teenager, and they're all fighting over when does life begin. The minister said, you know, of course, at conception, a fetus is a regular life and that's it. The liberal says, at birth, of course you could do abortion. And the teenager said, when you get your driver's license, if you can relate to that. So, but that's not our discussion. What we're focused on tonight is not necessarily when life begins, which is a discussion we've probably discussed and maybe will discuss in the future. But tonight's discussion is on when does the parent-child relationship begin? When is the daddy-son relationship begin? In other words, right now, like Zosu Abadim Bekirba, was Yitzhak already the father? Is there any relationship now? Or does the relationship begin at birth? When does Yitzchak become the father of Yaakov? When does Rivka become the mommy of Yaakov? Is it at conception? Or is that birth? So one want to bring a right. If I go to Habanim Bekirba, he calls them Banim. So maybe that's what Evan Ezra is alluding to, Al Shem HaAsid. Like, what do you mean Al Shem HaAsid? Well, we know, of course, Al Shem HaAsid. We know they're going to be coming up. Maybe he's saying, that even right now, he's saying, so Al Shem HaAsid, therefore they're not considered Banim now. But so that's what we have to discuss.
What do you mean, what's practical? What do you mean practically about Banim?
What do you mean practically?
Why does it matter when they're considered the son of someone?
That's what we're going to get to. That's what we're going to discuss tonight. What's some nafkaminas to it. So, there's a famous Baal HaEter. And he writes, he discusses this issue. When does the father-son relationship begin? Does it begin at birth, or does it begin at conception? So you might ask, who cares? So the Baal HaEter tells you why you have to know. Because there's a halacha in the Chumash. It says, Oso v'yes b'no los hishchatu b'yom echad. There's a halacha in the Chumash that you can't slaughter the mommy and the kid on the same day. So the Baal HaEter clears the following question. What if you shecht a pregnant cow? Obviously, the mommy's dead. And then after you shecht the pregnant cow, the uber comes out, the fetus comes out. You know, but
it's born?
It's born. A calf comes out, whatever it is. You know, so really, for the child is Minat Torah, you really don't need shrita anymore. But Midrabanan, we require a shrita. So the shaila is, are you allowed to do shechita today on that animal that came out of this cow, on the calf that came out? What's in the kula? Could we have a prohibition? Also, v'es b'no, lo tishchatu b'yom echad. So if it's considered the daddy, the parent-child relationship begins at conception,
then you can't.
So then you can't. But if it doesn't begin until birth, so at birth, there was no connection. The person was dead. You know, when at birth, he was never the parent because he wasn't alive. So the Baal HaEter concludes that you don't acquire the shame ben until birth, and hence to be permitted to slaughter this calf right now because it's not considered your child because the child-parent relationship begins at birth, not at conception. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is, there's a famous Rabbi Akiva Eger. He talks about the prohibition of milk and meat. As we all know, it says, Lo sabasho gadi b'chalev imo. You're not allowed to mix milk and meat together. And the Torah writes it three times. It's a discussion, why does it write in lashon of b'vasho? Why not lo sochu? Why not to eat? You know, different answers give him. One is that Bishul is the first step. But either way...
Wait, what's Bishul?
Bishul's cooking. You can't cook milk and meat. So the Gemara learns out to teach us that three different prohibitions. That's why he writes it three times. Echad l'isser achila. Echad l'isser hana. And one is just the Yisr Bishul itself. You're not allowed to cook it. It's cooking milk and meat together is a problem.
Hana is preparation?
Hana is the benefit. The hana. Oh. You can't, in other words, for instance, let's say you cook milk and meat by mistake, or you have it in your house. You're not allowed to give it to your dog or your animal because that's getting benefit. You can't eat it, but you can't get benefited from it either. So those are that's the prohibition. So Rabbi Akiva Eger is a big chiddush. What does the Torah say about chalev imo, in the milk of its mommy? So the Rabbi Akiva Eger has a chiddush. The only type of milk which is milchix is a cow that is capable of giving birth, and you have to be capable of being a mommy. If you're capable of being a mommy, that's what's eventually bechel of emo. It says in the Torah uses the expression of emo, mother. So only a cow that could give birth, only that's considered milk is milchix. So therefore, he says like this: if you have a treifa cow, so the Chazal tell us a treifa, you know, treifa means someone with an internal wound, so it's going to die within 12 months. So a cow that is a treifa, even though she can become pregnant, but she can't have kids. That's what Chazal say about a cow which is a treifa. She can become pregnant, so therefore she can give out the milk.
Well, does it take a year to have kids? Is that why?
No, man. It's, right. It takes less. I'm not sure how long it takes for a cow. So, but either way, it says, treifa eino yoledes. So treifa can only become pregnant and can't give birth. So therefore, he says that if a treifa cow, you can take the milk and... And you can have a real bus of a cholov sandwich. I don't mean soya.
How you can eat milk of a treifa? You can?
In terms of what?
I thought you weren't allowed to eat milk of a treifa animal. I'm believing something like that. It's the only reason we can now is that it's not... It's suffered or something like that.
No, right here, no, right, I'm saying... Right, I'm saying Rabbi Kivegu is having a... He's saying...
Theoretically?
Right, he's saying, I mean... Back to, you know, you have to raise treifas, right? But he's saying the milk isn't milchix. The milk is, in other words, you could have, you could take it to a lab and you can do a test. It'll be the same milk you're drinking. However, if it came from a treifa, it's a part of
you. But from a treifa? Only from a treifa? Like, if, let's say, someone had a cow that somehow or other couldn't give birth but wasn't a treifa, you wouldn't say the same thing?
Right, he doesn't spell right. So, in theory, if, I don't know if he goes on, it depends what, if Rabbi Kivi Eger means, on it goes on a specific min, a species, or on an individual. At the end, he leaves it to Bitsarachi, and it needs more thought.
That's why we don't hold like it.
Right. But, it, you know, but that, we get it going with COR, or you tell him we could get a real bus of a cholov going. But again, so Rabbi Kivi Eger raises the issue, but the point being is, unless the mommy, the parent-child relationship doesn't begin until birth. He's just like the Baal Iter. Therefore, you're not considered emo if you can't give birth, and therefore, it's no problem. A third example is the Beis Yitzchak in Evin HaEzer, Simon and Dalid. He talks about a halacha called Yakir, which means recognize. But it's a Xeris HaKasov that a father has a special status that he, since he can recognize his kid, he has a right to make his kid a mamzer. Not make him, but he's believed that the kid is a mamzer or a cholo. Even without, usually you need witnesses. Even without two edim, the father is believed on his own to say his kid's a mamzer or a cholo.
What's a cholo?
Something has to do with kahuna.
Oh, okay.
Right. So so the question is, let's say what happens as follows. Let's say the father, when the wife is pregnant, he says the fetus she's carrying is a mamzer. It's not mine, it's a mamzer. And then he dies. And then she gives birth. The question is the kid a mamzer or not? In other words, If the father and son relationship begins at conception, so then the kid's a mamzer. But if he doesn't become daddy and son until birth, so then he has no right to, he's dead already.
So wait, in that case you can't. Wait, if he were to say that the kid's not his, then he wouldn't be the father anyway, so he can't say that the kid's a mamzer. I don't understand that. If he says that his son, that his wife had relations with someone else, and that's how his son came to be, then it wouldn't be his son.
Well, maybe he had relations with someone else.
Oh, but, so what's it? Okay, so if he had relations with someone else.
Right, the way, right, I mean, the way they usually learn, right, is, I hear you're asking, you're saying, he's basically, he's, right, that's the point. He's believed to say the kid's not his. That's part of the halacha of Yafkir, in words.
But then I don't understand how, but, so you,
but the special xeris of custom, the belief
that if someone who's believed to be the father says it's a kid.
Right, in words, basically you're married to someone, and then the wife's pregnant, you're believed to say, even though normally you need two witnesses, the father's believed to say it's not his kid. That's a special xeris of custom. So, but the point being is that is he believed? So he's definitely believed. The question is, at what point does he become father? If he only said it at conception, then maybe he's not as a father. But if he's becomes a father at conception, so then the kid would be a mamzer. So that's what the base is. So then he goes with the Baal Iter. But he's not considered your child until childbirth, and therefore the kid's not a mamzer. So we have three examples. We have in Hilchos Shechita by Otov Etz Bino, we have by Basar V'Cholav, and we have by a Yakir. There's a fourth case, much more halacha l'maisa, that we know there's halach in the Torah of Tumas Kohanim, that a Kohen is not allowed to go to a cemetery, into Ohel HaMeis, he can't go into the presence of the dead. And the Torah says, because Amor Kohanim B'nei Aaron. So the halach is only applies to male Kohanim, and not women Kohanim. Because it says B'nei Aaron will go B'nos Aaron. So the famous Shiloh the Poskim deal with is, Anashis Kohen Me'uberes, a pregnant wife of a Kohen, is she permitted to go into Ohel HaMeis? Could she go into a cemetery?
I thought you were going to ask a different question.
Yeah, which one?
I thought you were going to ask if the wife had and the kid, if the kid died before birth. I guess
if the kid died before death, what?
Well, if it was a stillborn, then it would still be considered birth, right?
But what's the kasha there for?
I was going to ask if, but it would still be considered birth then. I was going to ask, I thought you were going to ask, according to this case, if the Kohen could go into the cemetery if they were to bury the baby.
You thought he considered his kid, you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
But it would be considered birth then, right?
Right, it's a question if, right, I mean, it's a shiloh if it's a chi of kfura.
Right.
At all. Pashas is no chi of kfura. There's only, right, so the shiloh is, let's say she's pregnant and she wants to go to the cemetery. Is she permitted to go in? Like, why can't she? The men, it only applies to women, and it only applies to men and not women. So what's the shiloh? Why can't she come in? Why can't a pregnant woman go into the cemetery?
She's possibly pregnant with a son.
Right, so the issue is maybe she's carrying a zachar. And therefore, if she's carrying a zachar, the halacha is that can't go in.
I'm not saying it is yet.
Oh. I'm just saying that's a possible problem. So, is she allowed or not? The Pasha should be suffix the right to a Chumrah.
Didn't you say the second one?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So there's the Magen Avraham in Arachayim, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. In Simon Shin Mem Gimel, or you have the Shach in Yeridea Shin Ayin Aleph. He quotes from the Rokeach, who writes, it's a Svek Sveka. And it's Mutter. Why? What's the Svek Sveka? One suffix, maybe it's a girl, maybe it's a boy. And even if it is a boy, maybe it's a Nefel that's not going to live the 30 days. So the Shach brings down the halacha of Svek Sveg, or the Rokeach brings down that based on a double doubt, one is permitted. What if it's a single, In other words, we have the general principle we have is Safek Daraisa L'chumra. Doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on. A doubt regarding a rabbinical law was lenient on. So here were Tumas Kohanim's a biblical law. So Safek Daraisa L'chumra. However, even on a biblical law, if you have a Svek Sveka, we say a Svek Sveka is mutter. And when we say it's Svek Svek is mutter, so it's a double doubt. So do I say maybe it's better for her not to go in? In other words, it's true it was saying she's allowed to because it's a Svek Sveka. But let's say she still could be carrying a meal. So do I say it's better for her not to go in? Or we say no, it's mutter, there's no problem going in.
Depends on the argument we're having.
Well, it could be, but before I get to that, it gets to the issue of how Svek Sveka works. In other words, there's an interesting note of Yehuda based on earlier Rishonim that today it's a very contemporary Shaila. Is we know it's in our case, we know they have the sonogram today. A woman can take a test that and find out what's inside. You know, let's assume it's not 100%, because I know there are cases where people, the doctor said one thing, it was another, but let's assume for our purposes that it's pretty, let's assume that it's a vadai. Let's assume if the sonogram tells you it, we'll assume it's true. So the shaila is, what happens if she took a sonogram and the sonogram said a boy? Then pashtus would be usher then because it would be a suffix deraisa l'chumra. So the shaila is, would she be obligated to take the sonogram in the first place? In other words, since we have a way to mevarer, we can mevarer the suffix and we could just take a sonogram and see. So maybe she can't rely on svek sveka because we could take the sonogram. Right, so the Noda B'Yehuda, there's a whole long discussion. He quotes a Ramon Yeredeya. I don't remember the whole case about it. It was a wing of the chicken broke. So therefore, it was a Svek over there. Because the wing could have broke, number one, because it could have been a pierce. I guess it's a good chain. A lot of times it happens, it could be from a tray for, it could be from something else to when the wing broke. It didn't have to be a tray. It's a case of Svek over there. So the shaila is, do you have to mevarer? Do I have to go, could I eat the chicken now, or do I have to go check it out? So Noda B'Yehuda, based on Rishonim, learned that the chiyav to mevarer is only when you can mevarer both Svekas. If you only collected a Svek Svek, it's two doubts. If I'm only capable of being mavara one of the dads. For instance, I only can mavara here if it's a boy or a girl. I can't mavara if it's going to die before 30 days. So no debut is, and also by the chicken wing, if you're not sure, you can't tell. You only can check one thing, but you can't, even if you find it broken, maybe it was broken before Shechita. Like, you don't, it's not a definite proof that it was a trefa. So the no debut is right, at any time you only can mavara one of the two svekas, so therefore you're not mechuyev to. So according to the Noda B'Yehuda, one would not be mechuyev to do a sonogram. So what's the psha? Why not? It might be a male and then you'll be metame the child. Or in the case of the chicken, maybe you're eating treif. If you go mavara, why not? So that's the cloud that Rav Shimon Shkab talks about in Chari Yosher and others. That had a svek sveka work. In other words, that seems to be the machlokas Rishonim. There are some Rishonim who say you should be Mavare because they're learning Svek Sveka works mitorah Suffolk. If you assume it works mitorah Suffolk, then you should Mavare.
But what is the Torah Suffolk?
It's still a doubt, and therefore you should check it out. But we assume it works mitorah Zvadai, and what I mean to say is when the Torah says Svek Sveka is mutter, that's the whole. That's the halachic reality, and that becomes the reality. Even if it was a boy, it didn't make a difference. Right, once the halacha says mutter, that's it. Like, for instance, like we have like Rosh Mishkup writes, by the Klal of Suffolk that writes the Lechem Litze, you come home, you have a good workout, a good 3-on-3 or 5-on-5, and you come back, you're hungry, but you stop off in the supermarket to pick up, you want to have a nice barbecue, a nice steak, and you get to the supermarket. I mean, there are only a couple of steaks there, but they're the half price. And you look closer and it says on it, Suffolk d'oraisa is a doubtful treif meat. You know what? You're hungry, you're feeling lucky. Wasn't it like the Clint Eastwood movie at the end? You're feeling lucky, punk? What does he call him? So go for it. So that's how you feel. You're feeling lucky. And you're starving, and you say, what the heck, it's a Suffolk, maybe I'm lucky, okay, you go ahead and eat it. And, you know, after you eat it, the guilt sets in, maybe you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have. And finally, you reach 120, and you go to the Beis Din Shamala. So you want, before they call you in, you call the angel. Come over, remember the date on November 3rd? I had that meat, can you tell me, was that meat kosher or not? So he comes down, pal, it's your lucky day. It was kosher. Oh, so you're feeling really good about yourself. You get into the Beis Din Shamala, and you know, the way they're putting the mitzvahs, averes, and they take that piece of meat and put it on the sin side. But no, wait a sec, I spoke to the angel, they told me it was kosher. He said, no, you don't get it. Suffolk d'oraisa l'chumra is b'torah vadai. So it doesn't make it, once the halacha paskins, it's like Suffolk. If the halacha paskins is mutter, so it doesn't make a difference if it's treif, it's mutter. Suffolk d'oraisa l'chumra b'torah zvadai. You ate this meat and it's treif, and therefore you gotta get. That's the Rav Chanan writes. That's how could you ever bring a carbon asham? Is that you bring a, when you're not sure if you did a suffolk d'oraisa on something which is, you know, as in chaylev, you're not sure. If you ate, if the piece was chaylev or not, so you bring a carbon asham on a guilt offering. The child is, ah, what do you mean if you're not sure? Then you're in violation of chulin lazara. You're not going to bring something which isn't kodesh. If you can't, if there's no chiyav of a carbon, so the Rav Chanan writes, no, that's the pshat. Suffolk d'oraisa l'chumra is b'torah zvada. Once the halacha says it's asur, that's it. Even if the reality was it was kosher, it doesn't make a difference.
So wait, shouldn't you then...
You bring a carbon asham on a suffolk issur. The question is, how could you do that? Maybe it's not treif, and therefore you violate. It's like you're bringing chulin non-kodesh to the azara. The answer is no. It doesn't make a difference. That's the pshat. Once the Torah says to the Torah's mechayiv you and suffolk d'oraisa l'chumra, that's the Torah's vada. Now you have to bring that carbon. So same thing by svek sveka. I don't have to be mavarer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's b'torah zvada. Once halacha passed and svek svek is mut, I don't have to worry anymore.
Wait, but according to the other people, if the person ended up having a boy and he lived past 30 days, the boy would be tamek?
We'll see. Maybe this purely, well, that's a separate question anyway. Even if, which we'll see, well, might say won't be a question because I'll give you another reason why it's okay. But the shayla is amato, let's. Even with what to do, you're assuming that means the kid won't become tummy. In other words,
oh, the kid would become.
No, I'm just thinking a lot. It's a chalos, like so. In other words, those are two different issues. Am I the shayla is what happens when a kohen goes to a cemetery for the seven relatives?
Oh, he still becomes
tummy. I'm just saying, pashas, you can't prevent the result from happening, but it's just you didn't violate and it said the rights of going in. So I'm just saying. So I'm not sure if that's an issue anyway. So, but that's what we're saying here. He doesn't even have to take a sonogram because svek sveka b'torah zvadai. However, if you already took a sonogram and you know it's a boy, so the pashas is suffek d'oraisa l'chumra and you're stuck. However, maybe there's a way out based on what we were discussing. In the Sefer Shari Chaim, he wants to argue, maybe it's mutter for another reason, even if you know it's a male, even if you took a sonogram. Well, because maybe we'll bank on the svar of the Bala Iter, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Beis Yitzchak, that you have to have a din of a ben until
he's born.
So therefore, maybe even if he is just, in other words, so therefore, even if he is a child, he hasn't taken the father's, even if he's alive, but the father-son relationship doesn't begin until birth. He doesn't become a Kohen. So maybe he is a boy, but he doesn't get the status of a Kohen until he's a boy, and therefore it'd be permitted. And it's not just, it's a Gemara in Yavamas, according to like the way one opinion over there in Yavamas, Samach Zion, it talks about a Kohen, the Gemara talks about there a Kohen dies and leaves a pregnant wife. The Gemara is talking about in terms of Yerusha, that does the fetus inherit the Eved Kenani that he has Avadim? The child over there is, why do they care if the fetus is considered a Kohen now? The issue being, if the get into a discussion, if the Eved Kenani could still, if you work for a Kohen, you're allowed to eat Truma. The Gemara there discusses in different contexts whether that person's now, even though he's only a fetus, if he's considered like, if he's considered like their owner, so if he's considered a Kohen or not. So the expression of the Gemara is, Uber b'mei zara zaru. That the Gemara has a discussion there, according to one opinion, you're not a Kohen until you're born. So we see, it's not just, in other words, the Gemara in Yavamah is what he deals with it. So
you're
therefore,
not a Kohen until you're born, or you're not a Kohen until you're born to a father?
What?
Like if the father died, and then the kid was born, would he not be a Kohen? Is that what that's saying, or he wouldn't be a Kohen until he's born?
Right, well, the daddy-son relation doesn't begin until birth, right? You're raising the other issue. I mean, Lamaisa, we assume he is a Kohen, right? But you're saying, based on what we're saying here, then, right, if the father's dead, then maybe he shouldn't be a Kohen then.
Like, if it happened that if you took a sonogram, knew that the kid was a boy, and then the father died, would the wife not be allowed to go to the funeral because of the son? Because you can't, wait.
You think you took a sonogram, and it's a boy.
And
no, but then it wouldn't be, she
wouldn't be a Kohen unless it's born. So if let's say,
not that, but it wouldn't be that, because then she has a chiyuv to bury her husband. So she'd be allowed in. Anyway, number one, she's allowed in. What I'm saying is, there wouldn't be a shy, because even if a regular Kohen's allowed to go into, for sure,
only
one is only
an
Uber. Right.
But
no.
Let's say it happened that the father died.
So Manashak, if it's not his father, so he's not a Kohen.
So he's not a Kohen.
No, I'm saying if you take that Svara, then he wouldn't be a Kohen, so it wouldn't be a problem. I hear what you're saying. What we're saying to the logical extreme, so you're asking what would be to happen then if you're saying if the father's generation doesn't begin until birth, let's say the father's dead, so what's the status of the kid in terms of...
So if the father died and then the kid was born before they buried the father, you're saying that according to one opinion...
No, I'm just saying...
According to that idea,
I'm
that you would
based,
be able to go...
I'm just saying, based on the logical sequence here, what you're asking, go on. So what's
according to one opinion, then the guy wouldn't be considered a Kohen, and therefore he could go on.
Right, yeah, well, what we're saying here is that even if you took a sonogram, and you saw it was a boy, nevertheless, it'd still be mutter, because he doesn't take on the status of a Kohen until birth. The pashas meaning, even if the father died before, in other words, he's a potential Kohen now, but he doesn't actually become a Kohen. I don't think anyone would say he's not a Kohen. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just saying it was basically, in other words...
Isn't that the same kind of thing as the 30-day rule?
With the Nafel?
What was the idea with the Nafel? Why was there no problem with taking him in if he's a Nafel?
No, but we're saying if he's a Nafel, so then I guess the assumption is if the kid's going to... You know, he's not considered a bar kayam, and therefore he's nothing. In other words, there's no problem with a dead person going to, I mean, that's what I assume, that's what the second topic is, right. So he's just saying here, if we work with the svara we've been using, so it should come out then, that even if he took the sonogram, he could go in, because
another son.
It's not his son, no, because he hasn't taken on the status of a Kohen until he's born.
So
I'm saying according to, even if you assume it's a sadagram and it's a boy, I shavik the rice u chumra. No, maybe he doesn't become a Kohen until birth. However, the Lemaisa, the Mishnah Brura, the Magen Avraham, the Shach, the Rokeach, they all bring down Svek Sveka. In other words, the Shaila is, the Chazon Sofer raises, why didn't they bring down this reason? The Svara was saying today, this Svara is better. The Svek Sveka is limited to a case of Svek Sveka.
This wouldn't even be a Sveka at all.
No, right. According, this would, in other words, this would say, in other words, a pregnant woman could always go into a cemetery. Based on Svek Sveka, it's only when it is a Svek Sveka. So, you know, obviously maybe, you know, 100 years ago, they normally were a Svek. They didn't have sonograms then. And you never knew. I guess after Navi, I guess the child, if a Navi tells you you have a boy in there, would you be allowed to go in there? That gets, you know, I guess the touch is on the same issue. So, for the Chazon Sofer, and the fact that all the posts can bring down Svek Sveka, not this answer, must be that we don't accept it, Lahalacha, or else why not bring down the answer that would apply to others? There's another reason that the posts can bring down that seems to be all-inclusive also. It's called Tuma Belua. It's a concept that if you're all wrapped up inside, you don't become Tame. For some bring down, there's no power for a woman of a Kohen to come in because the baby's all wrapped up, so therefore the tumor doesn't come in.
If a coin's all wrapped up,
the wife of a coin
has to be in the stomach.
Yeah, in the stomach of the room, right? So, however, so some say, why did they bring down Svek Sveka? Then this bring it. So some suggest because the case was where she was about to give birth, and then when she was about to come out. But I'm in a case where it's in the beginning of pregnancy, it's not a shiloh because it's tumor bula. They're saying the Svek Sveka was in a case where she was close to giving birth, so therefore you weren't sure if you could rely on that.
But then the third, the third Sveka, whether she'll give birth in the cemetery or not, is another Sveka.
Right, but that's part of, right, so then the kids definitely become tummy then. So,
if she gives birth in the
cemetery, so
then the kid becomes tummy, but it might be okay for her to have gone in.
Yeah, right, the two different issues, right. And then, so the pashas then is that if you took a sonogram and you know it's a boy, pashas then would be us. So since most of the posts don't bring down our reason we're working with, it seems to imply that maybe they disagree. However, there's one more person who discusses. So up until now, we have everyone who says that it's
on birth.
Birth. And except from the fact that the Magen Avraham, Shach, Mishnah Berurah, Rokeach don't bring it down, maybe they're cholik on this and they hold it's at conception. So is there anyone else who says this? It's the Vilna Gaon. There's a famous case, they asked the Vilna Gaon. The case was like this. Someone was a couple, someone was married and they got divorced. And then the man went ahead and married another woman. So, however, then he found out that his first wife was pregnant, he didn't know about, and then his second wife was pregnant. So, right now, the woman he divorced is pregnant with his kid, and the new wife is pregnant with his kid. So, what happened was like this. The second wife had a 7th month pregnancy, and she gave birth first. And the first wife had a 9-month pregnancy, and so she had the conception first. So the Shaila, they asked the Vilna Gaon, is who's the Bechor? Who's the firstborn for Pishnayim? Because here you have a case where, in other words, do we go by the birth or do we go by the conception? What's the definition of Bechor? So the Gra writes a big Chiddush, or it would seem like a Chiddush anyway, that Bechor goes according to conception. That he's being, what I've been saying is he's being cholik. He's saying the father-son relationship begins at conception. It doesn't belong at birth. He's saying that he's considered the father at conception, and therefore he's the bechor. And in fact, he says that's what the pasuk in Kitzeitzeh is talking about. The pasuk is talking about the parish of Get. Then it talks about you can't favor. The pasuk says something like you can't make a bechor. A daddy has no right to make a bechor out of the son he loves instead of the son he hates. Doesn't mean the son he hates, but it means the mother. In other words, he says that's the case we're talking about. Now, what's the havamina that the father can make the one he loves, the bechor, not the one he hates? No, what they were talking about is this maisa, that the one she, meaning she got a divorce from her, he hates her. So, therefore, she was conceived first. He was conceived first. And the second wife is the one he loves. Gave birth later. So I might think he wants to make the bechor over the 7-month baby. That's what the pasuk's coming to tell me. No. Bechor goes by conception. The daddy paralegia begins at conception. And therefore, he's the bechor, the one who was conceived first. And that's what the pasuk says, ki hu reishis ono, because he is the first one to conceive. So the Vilna Gaon, so therefore we have a major machlokas Vilna Gaon on one hand, versus the Baal Itzer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the Beis Yitzchak. So what do we do? So the problem is, it's this week's parasha. Rashi and Parashas told us. We know Rivka had twins. It says, V'achar Cain, and afterwards Yaakov came out. Why is he called Yaakov? He was holding on to the heel of Esav. He was trying to push to the front of the line, Yaakov. So the Shaila is, why was Yaakov? That's not nice. Pushing, like, why was he trying to push ahead of Esav? What's he doing? Learn some midos. So Rashi tells us, V'dinhu, and this Yaakov had the lumnus, he was in the field. I guess the Malach was teaching him the Torah, so he knew about this lumnus. He knew the halachas still at this point. He says, Bedinhu, I deserve the Bechor, because Rashi gives the example of, obviously they were born at two separate times, so it says, the mother's womb, it gives an example where if you put something in first, the one that comes out last have a narrow tube. So the thing you put in first obviously comes, you know, so he says, I'm the Bechor. So Yaakov had the Svara the Gra, that I was conceived first, and that's why I'm coming out last. So I deserve the Bechora. That's why he was pushing his way out.
According to that, all twins would be that the second one who comes out.
But right, so they have to. No, that's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. The Vilna Gaon is a big chiddush, that by all twins, it's the one who comes out last is the Bechor. So we'll see.
How's that?
Yeah, we'll get to it, but that's what he seems to hold to. The problem with that is Rosh Hashanah. I never heard this. We always know the older twin. We always assume the twin that comes out first is the older one, right? That's number one. And secondly, if Yaakov, it was pretty good alumnus for someone who wasn't born yet, but Yitzchak was a bigger alumnus, at least at that point. Or maybe, unless you argue, he was in the Malach, so he was a bigger alumnus. But either way, why didn't Yitzchak know this alumnus? Like, Yitzchak didn't know about this alumnus, about the first in, last out? Finally, you know, those accounting principles. Elvadet, it must be the Bechor is the first one, that's the Pasha. So, how do we explain the Gra? You know, the Pasha says we know the one who was born, that seems to be the way Yitzchak was learning. The one who comes out first, he's the Bechor. So how do we explain the Gra? So there's a Kli Chemda in Parshas Kisetze. He explains as follows. He says, there's two different, it's Svei Dinim, like any good answer, you need Svei Dinim. You need two aspects to the mitzvah. There's what we call Pishnayim. The Bechor gets the firstborn, he gets a double portion. And then there's a second halacha of Pidyon Bechor. That's Peter, you know, there's a din of Peter Rechem, the one who comes out first. So the Chicham that wants to be Machalik, that the halacha of Pishnayim, that's solely halacha of Yerusha, that depends on daddy. That depends on the son, on the daddy-son relationship. Peter Rechem is solely dependent on the mommy. In other words, the Kedushas Bechor, The one who comes out, the first one, that gets Kedushas Bechor. So the Kwei Chemda says, the Vilna Gaon is Moda. He wasn't arguing on that. It's Kedushas Bechor. It goes by birth. That's the Petzerechem. But the Vilna Gaon's Chiddush was, Yerushas Pishnayim, that solely depends on daddy. And when does that relationship begin? At conception. Daddy has nothing to do with the birth. The only kesher daddy has with the kid is at conception. He caused the conception. Once it's conception, it's all mommy from there. The Vilna Gaon's Moda, in terms of the halacha of Kedushas Bechor, it's dependent on Petarechem. Of course, the first one to come out, he says Kedushas Bechor. But what the Vilna Gaon is talking about, Pishnayim, that's purely a daddy-son relationship, and that only has to do with conception.
But that's only with a certain type of twin, right?
Right, depends, assuming they're not, that's what we're talking about, a twin that's conceived both at separate times, you know. Not, right, so therefore.
It's too, wait, how does that work?
They weren't like, they, you know, and that
two
was.
Two different types of twins. One twin that's two eggs and one twin that's one
egg. Without going into the deep, right, if twins that are conceived together, so that it wouldn't, you know, so it's a separate issue. Here we're talking about, here Chazal are assuming Yaakov and Esau were conceived at different times.
So right. But then that wouldn't work out though. Because wouldn't it be nature that the sperm would go to the closest egg?
I think it would. Right, I'm not sure. Right. So, I mean, it's a kasha how science would deal with it today. I'm just saying, but the way Chazal learned, Chazal knew that Yaakov is conceived. Right. I mean, it's a good. Today it's a good practice. How do we know who's conceived first? And not right. And then. I'm sure science has those rules. But I'm saying Chazal are assuming that Yaakov was conceived first and Esav, that was the facts we're working with. So therefore, it's no kasha regarding Pishnayim, that would be given to Yaakov. As Kedushas Bechor, Petarech, that would go to Esav. And that's what the Baal Yitzer says. Benai Asher Yotso, he's learning out by David. By David it says, by Avshalom, when he was coming to kill him, he says, the son that's come out from me, my. So, the Baal Yitzer says, he wants to bring a proof from here that it doesn't begin until birth. But maybe it's no raya. In other words, you could say also that it's no kasha also, it's not a kasha from Yitzchak. Because maybe Yitzchak would have given Pishtayim to Yaakov. He was only talking about Yitzchak's bracha was on. He was talking about Kedusha. It's not kasha. If you're going like this, Yitzchak understood the lamdas of the Gra, that Pishtayim goes to Yaakov. It's just Kedusha's Bechor. And that's the pshat. We began with the Evan Ezra, but it's Rocho Habanim Bekirba that we see eyes that call Banim right now. So it's a raya. It begins at conception. But the Eved Ezra knows, so what's he saying? Al Shema Asid. So maybe it means Al Shema Asid, that maybe he's saying he's not a ben until birth. But that's the Shaila, not when does life begin, that's a separate shear. When does life begin, the status of a fetus, etc. But here we're talking about the issue is when does the daddy-son relationship begin? So that's a major question, and with major nafkaminas in terms of the lachas of Oso Vespinovus. The halacha by a treifa of does the milk become milk according to parav? The halacha of yakir, does it apply in a case where the father says this fetus is a mamzer and then he dies before the birth? And in a more prevalent case of tumas kohanim, a case of an ashes kohen muberes. I vaguely, there was a beautiful pshat from a Reuven Margolius, which I probably don't remember, but it goes something along these lines. It had to do with the pasuk in Bereishis, very poetic pasuk, which I'm not going to look up, but something about talking about Adam Harishon, about Etzem Mayatsama Yabasa Mibsari. I don't know, something like that, but Etzem, like he came from a bone and a bone, but Basar Mibsari. That I think that we're basically the pshat is Adam Arishon was the only one who wasn't born. For Adam Arishon came from Yesh Me'ayin, you know, he came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him. But I think every person is etzem meyatzam. Every person is made up of bones and busser. And it goes on the line. It's something in Pikabola that I think maybe the etzem, the bone is the father, the busser is the mommy, or maybe I'm mixing them up, whatever it is. But therefore, that's how he explains why Abisha Beira, when you make a Misha Beirach, so you make it out of the you make it over the mommy. You use the mommy's name, but when you, when you're doing a Kelmo Yerachamim, maybe after he's dead already. So maybe you use the father. Well, one case, I don't know, have to come back to me, but in one case, you use the mother's name. One case, you know, the simple reason you use the mother's name is because you know who the mother is. You're not sure who the father is, but we just have a chazaka that it's you, but we don't know for sure. But the point I'm bringing with Mongolis is that was just you showed that something how that the father, you know, something similar, that the father's job is that, you know, is like at the conception, and the mommy's at birth. So I think also when you're dead, I think that's what there's something about when you're alive, it goes by. When you're dead, all you are is bones, because the body decomposes, and maybe, I'm not even sure, but maybe at the Kelmoy Rachim, you mentioned the father's name, so maybe it says something along those lines. But that's the issue here, by Yitzrotzu, Habanim, Bekirba, at what point do you have the status of the bed? And you have all those nafkaminas, and then you have the major machokis, the Vilna Gaon there, in terms of how you learn the pshat, so maybe Yitzchak agreed to the lamdas, maybe we could machalik and there's no machokis regarding Pishnayim, and that's the only thing the Gra said it for. That makes sense, because that's to do purely with the daddy, and that relationship ends at conception. But even the Vilna Gaon is more the, in terms of Kedushas Bechor, which is totally on Petarechem, so that would go by the mother, there'd be no kasha. Yitzchak was only giving the Kedushas Bechor to Esav in theory. However, he's always giving the Pishnayim to Yaakov. Any questions? Speeches? Or comments?
No. Good.
Is he going next door?
Well.